The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to episode of 194 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Prime in the building, and Jimmy Smith. Talking day two targets for the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, everyone will talk about the first round and think that the draft only ends in the first round. No, it continues on to day two. There's a day three, and then you talk about your priority free agents. You can keep on going. The draft doesn't stop at the first round, and it's really about finding these day two targets. These are like the meat and potatoes of your roster. We're talking about a roster that needs to be the cabinets are kind of empty. We need to refill it with some cheap, like the Bobo.
Some ramen noodles.
You know, it's not the Royale with cheese, but it's the Royale with, you know, fake made up cheese. But obviously, draft season's here. How you guys feeling?
I'm feeling all right. I mean, as closer and closer that we get to the actual draft itself, I feel the juice is pumping. I mean, I've gone full in on the mock drafts, and it's so hard to, I mean, they're fun to do, but ultimately they never turn out the way that you spin them. And it's kind of hard considering that every single time you do one, a guy like Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase accidentally falls to 12. You're like, this just isn't realistic. Yeah. But the draft goes on beyond the first round, and so do we. And I'm excited to talk about the day two selections that we are going to be eyeing up.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to like really pinpoint how I could really feel. I mean, at one minute, I'm settling down on accepting the fact that we're picking at number 12. Everything's pretty much like quiet, settled, and then yesterday, boom, we get news that here Carolina ended up trading for Sam Darnold. And now that kind of like mixed things up again. So it's like, shit, now I got to take the time to go ahead and let this settle before the next news drops. There's, you know, potential Atlanta is now putting it out there that they're willing to go ahead and trade their fourth round pick. Yeah. So it's like, hey,
hold the number four spot.
Yeah, they're fourth spot. Yeah. And here we are just here I am waiting to see what's actually going to go ahead and get me to the point where I can just settle and wait for the draft to see what's going to happen. So, I mean, it's mixed emotions here with me. So,
yeah, still the same here. Last time we talked, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. That's the story of my life with the Eagles. I think all of us know that. But, you know, with trading out of that sixth pick, just like Prime said, you know, I don't know how to feel still. I'm like, damn, there was so much talent there. We don't know how this draft's going to play out. Talking about quarterbacks going, first four picks possibly, maybe the Falcons trade out, whatever happens. We could have had the possibility of getting a true stud. So it's hard. But, you know, when we had the show last week, I started to feel really good about the possibility of all these great players in this draft. We acquired a first-round pick next year. We have a fourth-round pick now this year. So we have pick in every draft, multiple picks in the third, fifth, sixth. You know, hey-oh! Oh, wait, we don't have multiple picks in the fifth anymore, sixth and seventh, because we moved up 33 spots. I love that. So I think I'm excited, man, and I'm staying on the side of being optimistic about this draft. Got 11 picks. We've been doing exactly what we set out to do. We talked about at the end of the season, we needed to get the cap right and get draft picks. Well, we got the cap right. We have about $6 million in cap space, and we have 11 picks, most out of any team in the NFL. So I'm excited, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, and talk about having that ammo. That draft ammo was muy importante. You know, like having
Well said.
You like that? You like that? You like how it rolled off the tongue? Just having those draft picks where we can finesse our way around the board. We have, 11 you said? 11, right? 11 picks. So that means we'll probably end up with 8. I have a feeling he's going to trade, package a couple, maybe add a season it with little Zach Ertz in there, move on up the draft. I feel like, you know, Zach Ertz could be going on draft day, or, you know, that could be a thing. But looking at some of the players, like, we all have our guys on day two. There's some, like, right now, a lot of guys are, you know, hitting me up in the DMs like, yo, who do you like in the second? Who do you like in the third? And that's where we're at today. I mean, I got some favorites. I mean, does anyone want to throw out their favorites? I mean, people in the comments, I know y'all have some favorites. We'll start with Jimmy. Do you have a favorite guy that you've been talking up in the second round that you need to let the people know? Number 37, that's not really too far from the first round. It's just 5 picks away. So it's sort of like a first round pick.
Yeah. Obviously a lot of this is going to depend on what we do at 12. I think the Eagles need to go into this draft, and it doesn't need to be, okay, I took offense in the first, so now in the second I have to go, you know, defense. That's not what I'm thinking, but best player available. But in my mind, you've got to get a couple positions, you know, high on the board, and that's cornerback. And you got to get yourself a running back. So you got to get a wide receiver. And I know running back, people are like, what? We don't need a running back, Miles Sanders. But the 1-2 punch we've talked about over and over again is something I feel you see it. We talked about the playoff teams last year on this show, you know, all those backs on these teams with not even just 2 backs, 3 backs. We knew last year going into that Boston Scott and Corey Clement were not number 2 backs, neither of them. So we found out there was an issue week 1. Miles Sanders is out. You got Boston Scott starting against Washington football team. That was bad, and we need to address that. I think Javonte Williams, North Carolina, if he's available at 37, I think it would be hard, really hard, for me to pass up on him. And I know there's a lot of really good receivers. I won't say their names in case you guys want to choose to talk about them. But Javonte Williams, for me, I think if he's available, that's just somebody I'll go with today. I would love to see him in an Eagles uniform.
Interesting.
Absolutely. A guy that I've personally been really eyeing up is Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss, man. The more and more that I read about him, the more I watch his highlights, and just the guy is an overall, like, he's a solid wide receiver. He's progressed and gotten better each and every year in his college career. And he's a guy that plays with absolute swagger. Like, he brings, I think, having a dog on this wide receiving core is something that is dearly missed. I know his size isn't exactly ideal. He's a little bit smaller of a frame, but the dude is an absolute baller. And he just seems like a playmaker to me. He seems like an impact player. That's a guy that I've really, really been eyeing up a lot at that 37th pick, personally.
You know, the player that I was going to say, Javonte Williams, but, you know, we all have love for Javonte Williams around here. I think, you know, that 1-2 punch, a thunder and lightning for Jalen Hurts, solidify the run game. That would be nice. Elijah Moore, another dynamic threat from the slot, can do the jet sweeps, you know, but he's a threat down the seams. I'm going to go with Terrace Marshall. The key thing here is him actually making it to the second round. And, you know, there's, you look at teams like the Ravens, could they possibly pick him up? My dream scenario would be a J.C. Horn, and then you add a Terrace Marshall. You're talking about a guy who fits right in. He can play inside and outside, has the speed. I just like what he brings to the table. Coming from a dynamic LSU offense that put up numbers, he was also in that mix with Justin Jefferson and our guy Chase. But I think he's another element to that offense that shouldn't be forgotten. And he's got the size. I mean, at his size, you're bringing a big dog, and he has that element that's kind of missing from the Eagles offense. Prime, who are you looking at?
There was actually two. You ended up saying the one guy, Terrace River, for sure. Kadarius Toney, I like him at Florida. You know, somebody that I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on.
Oh, look at that profile.
guy got some serious moves to him. You know, his all-purpose yards is like sick. You know what I mean? So
he's shifty as hell.
Yeah, that's something that we can go ahead and definitely use in our scheme, depending on, you know, what scheme we're going to see, because, you know, this is all going to be brand new to us. So I think he would be a solid fit to the team, and, you know what I mean, and be a big part of that offense.
Yeah, Kadarius, you could look at him as another kind of – he kind of has the same kind of skill set as, like, a Jalen Reagor. You know, he could take those jet sweeps. He could – he's just – but he's, like – he's a baller, dude. Like, he – you can move him all over the place. The way that he runs routes, it's like he's – he's like doing the bachata out there. Like, he's like, he's doing dance moves.
Okay, Gil with his leg swag tonight.
But, so much. But he's doing like, is the way that he, like, if you watch Kadarius, like, if he was to tear an ACL, it would be because of his own fault of the moves that he does. You're like, bro, you're stopping. Like, you could
no
be
banana
like,
routes.
What's that?
No banana routes.
I'm not around
no
here,
banana routes. Yeah. Puts no, that foot no. in the ground.
Like, I don't like banana routes, right? I don't like the we're going to roll into it. It's stick your foot in the ground and rip it.
I don't know if he's sticking. He sticks his foot in the ground and does like a bunny hop. And like, he's an exciting player to watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Prime, that's a great one. I think Gale, another great one. Terrace Marshall. And I think we all know another a wide receiver and Rashad Bateman, those three right there, those who are in my mind when I was talking about Javonte Williams, those guys, those are three that I would be very excited. Now, the other two being taller receivers, I think X is more of a need for us, but I don't think Kadarius Toney and Jalen Reagor on the same team is an issue. You look at Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson, it's okay to have multiple fast guys on the team. So with a run-heavy team, I feel we're going to be a dual-threat quarterback. I think guys like that would be perfect. So I love those guys that you all mentioned. And same with Elijah. Dude, I like him too. I like what Evan said, but he's somebody that has definitely grown on me a little more too. I think Rondale Moore is another one of those shorter guys that you know is very intriguing. So a lot of talent in this draft. So a lot to be excited about, guys. I saw the comment about how he's going to mess this draft up. He could always mess this draft up. If we just sat here and told you that, what fun would it be? We all know that. So let's have some fun.
Yeah, people in the comments, man, they're feeling out their picks right now. Todd says, "How do you guys feel about Paris Ford?" He's another guy that you know people are talking about. He's a thumper, right? But how is it? You know, do people talk about his coverage? Like, I'm wondering, you know, where do you see him? Probably third, fourth round, perhaps. I don't know if I'm.
I don't know if I'm reaching the second round for him.
I wouldn't at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I
think I was some talent though.
I did have two picks here, guys. Like, I was kind of like, you know, Prime had his two picks, you know, so I'm gonna have my two picks. A guy that I don't really want to reach for, like a guy that I've been following since, you know, just really paying real close attention to his game. You know, my man Richie Grant, Richie Grant over here. I feel like he was like a guy that I was like, man, if we could get him in the third round, I'm cool with that. Like, I don't know if Richie Grant now
lasts that long.
I think he's in the second round. I think his stock is pretty high. I think I've seen a lot of analysts just raise him up. I know Dane Brugler recently had him as his number one safety. You know, I know Morg from TCU. Jimmy's been pretty high on him. I think, again, he could go in the first round. There's Chris Pico from Twitter. He's saying, what about Farley if he falls?
If we ended up going on the offensive side of the ball, or just a non-quarterback, cornerback with the 12th pick and Farley falls to the second round, I'd be all for it. If we ended up drafting a guy like J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain, obviously I don't want to go cornerback, cornerback. I don't know, man. Like, I'm all for shoring up the cornerback position, but like, I just look at all the holes we got to fill. You know,
I hear you.
Imagine getting Farley at 30. And, oh,
and, could and, you imagine Horn and Farley?
And Horn,
yeah,
like you,
it would be insane.
You re-upped for like the next 5 years, but you got to pray for Farley's back.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ACL
and everything else he's had.
But in all honesty, Evan, I mean, like, I wouldn't even be mad if we did go cornerback and then a good wide receiver and that second pick, or I'm okay with what Gail was saying, cornerback. Yeah, I'm okay with either scenario because technically we're in need of both, so I'm all right with that.
I'm just in the camp of like, if we don't get, I want to get a wide receiver within the first two picks that we have. Yeah. I think that is our best chance. And like, looking at how we have Rager and Janaw as like our starting wideouts right now, like that's something that I need to shore up like right now. I need to get Jalen Hurts weapons right now. So while I think there is guys that are going to be deeper in this draft, I think there's some good wide receivers out there. I want a more a sure thing and get one with either the 12th or second round pick, whether it's 37 or we move back up into the first or whatever. One of those first two picks, to me, I'm begging for a wide receiver.
Would you guys be mad if we went wide receiver?
Not at all.
No.
It depends on who it is, though. If Devontae Smith falls, and then you get Kadarius Toney.
To the second?
No.
12. I'm saying if you want wide receiver. If it's Devontae Smith and then like a speedy little guy.
Elijah maybe. Moore.
No. I think we need to put an emphasis on defense. So I want one of the picks to be defense. And then I know I said Javonte Williams, but I think to me it comes down to one pick offense, really. And I know I said it doesn't have to be this way. But for all the talent that's there, I'd love to see getting a J.C. Horn at corner and then a Terrace Marshall or a Bateman or Tony, whatever, dude. Just, yes, I think I agree with you guys 100%.
And they're both from the SEC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
skill players from the SEC?
Would Howie do it?
I mean, that would be a great idea. Shout out to Bruce Smith from Facebook. He says, Rashad Bateman will be our receiver. Book it. And even for that, I'm going to even give you a graphic with that, Bruce. I feel like this is a theory. I recently saw Mike Kay in his mock drafts. He had the Eagles trading back into the first, an idea that Evan just spoke to. I mean, I didn't feel bad about it. I felt like, you know, like a guy, you know, I call it, you know, he a poor man's Justin Jefferson to his game. He's being really slept on. I don't think he's as athletic as Justin Jefferson, but I feel like he's on par. Like he's a well-rounded guy. His routes are super crispy. His quarterback play. I mean, if you gave him Burrows, maybe we would see even more insane stuff from Rashad. But you know, he opted out. He's one of the players that opted out. He had asthma, and but I feel like, you know, he played a couple games, right? And then but I feel like his game is, you know, it's crispy. Any word on the year?
I think what's going to happen here is I'm 100% on board with you. I think he's a great player. And, you know, Bruce, look, I'd be all for it. This could be another scenario just like last year where you have these really, really good top wide receivers. And now there's these other really good wide receivers. I think they're just kind of being slept on. It's like the T. Higgins effect last year where you see him falling into the second and he's really a first round talent. And, you know, I would be all for adding someone like Bateman.
Yeah, and Bruce is throwing all sorts of scenarios out here at us. We talked about moving up back into the first round. Thoughts about trading back up into the second round? Cost less. I mean, honestly, this plan right here, I wouldn't have any problem with. It all depends on who we get, obviously. But I think that's a total possibility. And if we ended up going cornerback, safety, and wide receiver in our first three picks, man, we might have a different looking team.
The thing about the second and third round, like that is it's a crucial area for the Eagles to actually get quality corners. There's there's a number of guys that are going to be around in the second and third round that they're all clumped together. Like depending on what your flavor of corner, you know, you got Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky, Tyson Campbell.
My God.
Eric Stokes.
Party.
Elijah Molden.
The Georgia corners.
Yep.
Elijah Molden, if you want that slot corner type. Yep. Greg Newsome from Northwestern. Asante Samuel Jr. from Florida State.
You think Greg Newsome makes it out of the first round?
It depending on who you ask, dude. Like, depending on what flavor you like of corner. And they all have different – but it's like these guys have the size. There's guys that are – you know, you don't want those big corners.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of. I think Greg Newsome could be available at 37.
What's that?
I think Greg Newsome could be available at 37. Sorry, I'm ripping my light down here.
Yes, I saw that.
But you know, I just feel like it's. You know, I feel like it's like that's where you can. That's where the draft in the draft. Like, if we go a different route and not draft my homeboy J.C. Horn and break my heart. That's where, you know.
You're saying you don't want to draft J.C. Horn?
No, if they
don't. We need to have an intervention.
If they don't draft J.C. Horn.
Yeah, and he's sitting there. Yeah, I got you.
And they go another route and get these corners in the second round. I'm kind of cool with that. You know, there's a lot of guys that are there. I was digging into Jamin Davis.
Todd brings up Jamin Davis. I love Jamin Davis.
I mentioned him earlier. That's somebody that could be a reach, right, in the second round. But I think that's something I might be. But we just did that with Davion Taylor. Right?
Who was saying recently in the draft community about Jamin Davis moving up into the first round? He was like, "Oh, the Cowboys are targeting Jamin Davis."
Huh. I don't know about that. He's pretty good. I could see him second round, but first round, wow.
I have been seeing some heat around his name recently. I don't know if he gets all the way up into the first, but
he's a fast dude. Maybe a lot of people get enamored with speed. That might be.
Oh, you mean like our entire draft class last
year? Davion Taylor last year? Yeah, you're right. The whole damn class. Speed.
Now, Moira has a plan. She says, I say go J.C. Horn. I'm feeling that, Moira. At 12, wide receiver in the second. And get Trey Sermon. Like, yo, if you got J.C. Horn for me, like, all right, you got me there, Moira. If you got me Terrace at 37,
I'm good.
Terrace Marshall Jr. And then if you in the third round got me like Michael Carter, or even if Javonte's not falling to third, but yeah. I mean. Like, I'm if you can get me that kind of quality, but obviously, even the third, I'd even go linebacker. I mean, lineman, best available lineman on the board around there. I mean, you're gonna have to add a piece in there because there's the way that this draft is set up. There's a lot of quality, you know, linemen in the second.
Mm-hmm. I'm big on that Michael Carter, man. If Michael Carter is there at the third. And we grab him. Oh, that's a steal.
That's how I'm okay with missing out on Javonte Williams if his running mate.
Michael Carter is a steal.
Yep. I'd be happy with it. I like what whoever said before, and I like what Gale said at the beginning of the show about, you know, maybe we only have 8 picks by the end of the draft. I think we're going to be moving around here, guys. And I would love to see maybe you come back into the second. We talk about the scenario of the first. Hell yeah. It depends on who's there. But what if some studs are there in the second? So I love that, whoever brought that up. I think, you know, if someone like a Jalen Phillips starts creeping around, you got to nab him to put with Josh Sweat for the future. I'd love it.
What's up, Alex? The chef is in town. The chef says De'Ami Brown from UNC is my dude in day two. You're talking about third round. If he was there, you know, maybe people are saying second round. But he's definitely another target. I was watching De'Ami Brown versus Melifamu from Syracuse. Mm. Another long corner, 6'3". His brother was also drafted a couple years back. Pretty much had his way with Brown, and that's what I was like. Okay, Melifamu could be.
He's serious.
Yeah,
he's a long third corner. Round. He's a long corner. You know, and again, for everyone out there who's still in the process of doing all their homework, right now we're throwing out names, and this is your opportunity to throw out names. guys that we should check up on. People always throw, you'll see a Jalen Darden from what, North Texas, our receiver.
That's a good one.
You know, these little gems that people, that's the fun part of the draft season. It's like finding a nugget and you're like, I want to share this with people. This is
Can we talk about something? I know we've been avoiding it because we all know that Howie and the Eagles just don't put an emphasis on it, but there's some pretty damn good linebackers in this draft. And you heard what I said about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Look, wherever the hell he's going, I don't know if you take him at 12. I don't know if he can pass. I mean, if you can come back in the first, if he starts to try, oh my God, could you? That is the nickel linebacker that you need in this defense. Oh, I get so excited thinking about him as a prospect. But even if you miss out, Gail, we've been talking about Zaven Collins, Nick Bolton. Mm-hmm. So do you guys like any of those names? I mean, they get me excited.
Yeah, listen, a guy like Zaven Collins, I think, is a fucking difference maker, man. Mm. And believe me, JOK, I've been talking about him for a couple weeks now. Like that's a dream scenario, but being realistic, like we all know who the Eagles are. We followed them our entire lives.
Call him a safety? Maybe they'll take
him. Yeah, exactly. Well, he is versatile. He's a very versatile player.
He's definitely that kind of guy. Yeah.
JOK is that dude.
But man, that would be a dream come true. It really would. If we ended up, would you be okay if the Eagles passed on J.C. Horn for JOK?
I would not be okay.
You would not be okay.
No, I would not. I mean,
explain yourself.
I do like his game. I like his aggressiveness. I like his versatility. But do I want to let this man pass? This guy's not going to let other quarterbacks pass. Guy who averaged 18 points, wide receivers averaging 18.6 yards a game versus two. This dude is incredible. He's going to shut people down. I know we're talking about day two targets, but y'all forced me to talk about J.C. Horn, and I'm doing it. But again,
Gail's in love. Just look at the look in his eye right now.
he's the most surprising prospect for me to like. I like the offensive wide receivers. I like the
But here's where I stand. So we were sitting at six, right? J.C. Horn never came up. I mean, I'm not saying I realize J.C. Horn would have been a total reach at six, but I'm just saying, is J.C. Horn somewhat of a consolation prize now that we've fallen out of six not going to be getting Jamar Chase Pitts? Have you just talked yourself into it? I think he's going to be a phenomenal
player.
Him,
and I heard Gail talk about him before because we talked about the possibility of trading back out of that six spot, and nobody wanted to hear it. Yeah. We already did it. And he was mentioned. It just didn't make sense at six.
I'm going to bring this up. What does that say on there? What the date? February 7th?
He's got receipts.
He's ready.
I would like to stay put, but if we move down for that far, I wouldn't mind taking a shot on J.C. Horn. Love David.
How long have you had that in there?
when people try to test me.
Love it.
Go back, get the receipts.
I said, I knew it.
This is before the trade even happened. Okay.
I paid for this shit.
Yeah, what's on that? This too. Chris was talking about it. This was somebody that we brought up. I think I'm with Gail 100%. I'm right with him. I think if he's there at 12, you take him. I think I would be ecstatic. Gail, if he's gone, would you take someone like JOK at 12? Would any of you guys take JOK at 12?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
Gail, he is fantastic.
I like his game. I like the. But you have to realize who we're talking about. It's not that I don't like the player, but I'm trying to project what Howie would think. How is Howie thinking in this situation? And we already know he doesn't really value line work. He went and he got Davion Taylor. He got his. He's got the. It's not exciting that we have, but we could work with it. And when you have Fletcher Cox and you have Hargrave in front, there you go. You got your muscle right there. Now we need guys who can chase on the back end. You could wait for a Jabril Cox in the third round from LSU, North Dakota State, home of a former quarterback that played for the Eagles.
I'm just saying that's kind of an insult, though, because you're just saying, are you saying Jabril Cox is the same thing as JOK?
He's a guy that's got like 900 snaps in the slot, can play on an island, can move.
They can both do that, yes.
6'3", bigger guy, 230. I'm just saying, but for half the price.
Yeah.
But like when you see JOK come up and hit somebody in the mouth,
he crunches them.
I feel
a guy that can hit and cover,
and he don't even care. He doesn't care. He don't care.
Dude, there's linebackers in each round that you could take. I think it'd be JOK the first, Nick Bolton or Collins if they could fall the second, maybe trade back into the first, and then third, Jabril Cox.
The message right there, cornerback is definitely an important position that we have to go ahead and focus on. But think about some of the running backs that we're playing against in our division. All right.
Yep.
We need that. We need that type of linebacker that can go ahead and play that position and stop these guys. We lack that so bad. I mean, yeah, give or take, we didn't have that much hurt against us this past season because, I mean, we didn't have the greatest linebackers at all. And then I put a lot of faith into, you know, I'm not even going to mention his name because I promised I wouldn't mention his name ever again. But
White Snake,
the 49er?
I don't see it being a bad thing if we went linebacker. It'll be a change because it's just something that we just never expect as Eagles fans.
Now, shout out to Maura in the chat. She says, speaking of Notre Dame, the calendar you guys sent me had a Josh Adams question on it today. Was actually kind of surprised since he was a flash in the pan. She won the contest. You should let us know what that question was.
Question, yeah.
Hey, he was a leading rusher 1 year. That's how bad we were running the ball.
That could be the question.
A flash in the pan, let RT. Damn.
Shout out to Mark, who actually sent the calendar that you won. So, I mean, see, this is what
brotherly love, baby.
This is what bringing Eagle fans together and having a little fun. Slight flex with the sneakers. There are sneakers in the background. If you
see the little case, okay.
Like the new Topes just came in.
Wait, can we take a moment now that we're on the talk of shoes right now? Gail has recently entered the house shoe moccasin game. It's changed your life, no?
Oh.
He's never had a pair of moccasins in his life.
I mean, I don't know if that's like a privilege thing. I've never had house shoes, man. It's like this, and then Evan put me on. He's like, bro, like. He's like, you've never had any house shoes? I'm like, yes. I was like, no. And I went out and got the same ones that he got.
Okay. Bro,
and life has changed. Like, you know, before Christ.
Gail teaches me a little about shoes. I tell him about lazy shoes. It's a great thing.
Bro, I didn't know that was a thing. Do you all have house shoes? Is this a thing?
I wear like flip flops sometimes when it's easier than just putting on something.
Yeah, like Evan's got this thing has like real fur in it.
Yeah
My dad used to rock those, maybe like, keep me warm in the winter. I'm like, no doubt, dude.
I had a pair of Eagle ones that my lady got.
They make Eagle ones?
They do, yeah. I've seen
that's
those.
Pretty sick.
It's a good idea.
I had a pair of Eagle ones and I rocked them, and you know, I probably rocked those things all the way to they were worn out, so they didn't last long at all.
Chris Peak says he's got house shoes. It's all about the house shoes. That's a new thing. I mean,
yeah.
It's either house shoes or Eagles.
Slides. All right. Represent.
Got some slides.
Eagles, chancletas. I'm all about the Spanish tonight. Chancletas.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
I saw, you know, we were talking about linebackers. And Chris went off the chain. He says, F it, Micah Parsons then. That his name comes up in every live stream that we do.
Yep.
I want to say, you know, I'm going to say the same thing I say in every episode. Did you go back and watch all the read all the stuff about? His athletic profile off the chain. This guy looks like he'll tear your neck off. Looking like baby. Looking like
Zumba.
A little Lion King. Just put on an alpha. Definitely an alpha male, this guy, Parsons.
He's a top.
I mean, Evan is you know, very clever with his words. I think Carson is he a leader of men? I don't know.
I think if the Eagles are willing to go buns out, I mean balls up, I'm just gonna say none of it. Never mind.
Stop.
Yeah, man. I think, and that's where, shout out to Joey Shakes in the building. That's where people come in. Like, if you're not gonna go Parsons, everyone's favorite linebackers, JOK, Evan. If you want a slight flex about JOK,
love JOK.
This is your opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we were just talking about him a little bit ago. The guy can drop into coverage. He's an all-around linebacker. And when you see JOK lay the wood on somebody, not the way that Micah Parsons lays the wood.
Whoa.
I'm talking about actual on the field with the pads. The dude is like he can cause turnovers, whether it's fumbles, whether it's interceptions. The dude is the full package at linebacker. So that's why.
Full package? Yeah. Calm it down, Evan.
JOK?
Mr. Pun over here. No, we were talking about we had the wrong app.
Oh no, I was talking about JOK.
No, I know.
This guy's the full package over here. Yeah. Okay.
I'm with it though, man. JOK is amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Yo, JOK got that like Ed Reed look, but in a linebacker position. Like he's just like he got that mean look.
He's a joker, man. He can play that safety linebacker hybrid role, man, and he can hit like a linebacker, cover like a dude. I love it.
Now, Chris is saying that Parsons would be a monster behind Fletcher Cox.
Do you like Micah Parsons' coverage? Do you guys like his coverage skills? I think that's not exactly the best. I mean, we need a coverage linebacker.
He's got the athletic profile to do it. He hasn't really been like, but his versatility to actually probably play in space, but also blitz. Do those A gaps and then blitz him off the edge, line him up at the edge. He can play defensive end as well. I mean, quite interesting.
Alex brings up, I think, a very interesting something that hasn't been talked about a lot. Like, everybody wants to talk about a Devontae Smith, a JC Horn. What about a Rashawn Slater at 12? And then you move up back into the first and grab a guy like Caleb Farley. I mean, honestly. It doesn't create the pants tense like all the other names, but that's a sure thing right there. Rashawn Slater.
I mean, Slater, he's a guy that, you know, he's going to come in and, you know, he's played right tackle and left tackle. And you could even slide him in at guard. You know, people might talk about his length if it's not, you know, at the next level, but I think you could plug him in at guard too. Like he's got that versatility that you probably like. It's not sexy at all, but I think, and then Farley, another guy that was a trade down option for me, still raw.
Yeah. And the injuries are the thing that kind of concerns me about
athletic profile.
Yeah. Sidney Jones all over again.
He said he ran a 4.24. He runs a 4.24.
Yeah, I said that too. Crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but then that whole idea of like Farley actually falling to round two, another cornerback with an injury history. Just, you know, he's got the ACL in his profile, right? Mm-hmm. He's got the two back things that just I can't even pronounce what the name of the procedure that he had. But again, they said he's going to be fine. But again, he has these two back spasms and now this.
Well, I mean, if we had the old medical staff, you know, I mean, he would fit in just perfect.
Yeah.
Look at Stephen K. breaking news. Did Jim Schwartz land a job? What was this?
Did you hear me bitching about it before we went on? I was like, oh,
With the Titans.
Yeah.
Be joining the Titans.
A senior assistant. He's going to sit back in the corner. Good for him.
So basically, he just wanted out.
He wanted to bounce. Yeah.
I mean, how does that make you all feel? Do you guys feel sensitive about this?
Not at all.
I don't feel any particular way. If he wanted to get out of Philadelphia, to be honest, I've been bitching on this show about getting him out of Philadelphia for quite some time now. So it was a mutual departure.
With you, man.
Yeah,
it was time for a new defensive scheme, man. You know, we got tired of seeing.
I'm excited for Gannon, dude.
Yeah, same here.
And then again, it was just like we already knew what we were going to the game, like how our defensive scheme was going to be.
And we knew he sucked.
We were probably gonna, you know, get a whole bunch of oh shit, what's gonna happen next on every single play because it was so easy to go ahead and you know determine what was gonna happen. So yeah, it was time.
Yeah. I mean, again, everyone has their feelings about Jim Schwartz, but he's the only defensive coordinator in Philadelphia folklore that has a Super Bowl ring. We should be putting some respect on man's name.
Oh yeah,
Nate Sudfeld's got a Super Bowl ring too, pal.
And while you were saying that, I was actually looking for a Jim Schwartz, Nate Gary meme, and I had already had it done. It was Schwartz behind Nate Gary, and he's on top of the Titanic.
Oh, like, man.
Behind him. I tried to bring it up, but
Titans making a trade for Nate Gary.
Yep.
Imagine
he's
that.
He's probably the only defensive coordinator that gave up the most yards in the Super Bowl as well. Right?
38. Jesus. Chris Peak asking a very exciting question.
Oh,
are we going to be live for the draft? I can't wait to be streaming live for the draft.
Chris,
man.
We are streaming live. If I don't know if you were with us last year.
No more stunners.
I did about 24 hours of live streaming 3 days in a row. So
yeah, we were up till 5 a.m. together that first night, dude. That was awesome.
I mean, if you just want to hang out, bring a beer, bring your food, join the show. It's going to be very interactive.
Yeah. Bring your green hat.
We'll have fans in. We'll send out the link.
We have guys cooking eggs in the morning while they were getting ready for breakfast.
Some of us was in the back room like.
If you want to come on the show and talk your piece, we'll have a spot for you. You can bring the whole family if you
Peaks
like.
Peace.
Oh yeah.
I like what someone said about Rashawn Slater there though a second ago. That was somebody I mentioned the other day, along with Elijah Vera Tucker. You know, we have to address the offensive line, but I don't think they would be good picks. They're really both very talented guys. Jalen Mayfield, maybe there's a lot of talented linemen here. But I feel very comfortable, and I better watch what I say because they have to stay healthy, right? I mean, we all know that. Obviously, our line's getting older. But you saw the restructuring, obviously an extension for Kelsey, but the restructuring for, say, Malu, Brooks. Lane Johnson didn't have to, but they moved money around. They ensured they'd stay here and help some of these younger guys grow, that being Nate Irvig, Jack Driscoll, whoever loses out on the job between Mailata and Dillard as a backup. So that's some pretty good talent there that I think we need to grow. But I want the Eagles to address the offensive line. I just don't know with guys like J.C. Horn, J.O.K. floating around. We'll see who's available. But, hey, it's a great thought. Rashawn Slater's definitely very talented. I just don't know if I'd go with that.
Can you name who this draft prospect is by his profile photo?
I can. Landon Dickerson.
Landon Dickerson. Again, a lot of talk around here about the yeah. So, Landon.
Not Mike.
Landon from Alabama. You're talking a guy who, you know, if it wasn't for the whole thing with Philadelphia is in their linemen over the last couple of years, it's if healthy. Here's a guy, if healthy, you're talking about his stock is locked in the first. But the fact that he, you know, has been not the healthiest player. You know, Stoutland has done his homework being a Alabama guy. If he has the inside route on him and his health and how he is as a player, we all, you know, that's a potential later day two, depending on how they feel about his injuries.
Now, if you want to talk about peak physical health, I've got a center for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's how like about- Jason Kelsey's like younger brother, dude.
Quinn Miners. yeah, I mean, the picture kind of speaks for itself. He's a big body man.
He's and, got that Kelsey look.
He's a small school dude, but like ever since the senior.
The Undertaker.
This guy's like an extra off of Game of Thrones.
He just might be.
Yeah, him at the Senior Bowl, though, he really was turning some heads as a small school center, and he was really impressive. He was pretty much owning every single day of practice, and he played very well. So I think that's another guy that we could eye up on day two. I would love to have.
I'm hoping for third round on him. I was hoping fourth round, but now the love is just too real. I mean, that's the thing.
Ran a 4.99 at 3:20. I mean,
broken hand and all playing in that Senior Bowl. What a beast. What playing about like a Creed Humphrey, man? That's somebody I think in the later round.
Creed Humphrey as well from Oklahoma. Another,
but he'll go in the first, though, won't he?
I don't know. I would like to see him fall, man.
he's a guy I wouldn't mind targeting in the second, but yeah.
Maybe again, a trade-up option.
It's just the way that the board is set up. If Javonte Williams was there, and people will say it's like why are you doing this with Miles Sanders here? Mm-hmm. I'm in so much favor of not paying a running back. Like I play running back. Like it's one of my I love watching running backs play, and it's like one of my favorite positions to scout and everything. But it's like when you're talking about money wise, all the running backs that have gotten paid in the NFL,
Doesn't work out.
Tell me how many. It's almost like rare that the ballers that get paid,
yeah,
don't make it out of that second contract. They're either getting
injured.
You can name them off.
I mean, Zeke, Saquon,
Le'Veon.
Yeah. Le'Veon, yeah.
All getting
Christian
hurt,
McCaffrey. Yeah. He just got paid. He just got hurt.
He got hurt. Yeah.
Mixon got hurt. Right. Mixon got hurt too. So I mean, look at the Browns.
Zeke's the funniest.
Look at the Browns.
Yeah, I was gonna say even a guy like Leonard Fournette. I mean, he's had a decent career, but with his he was taken fourth overall, right? I just don't know if he's lived up to that fourth overall pick. Zeke? I mean, Zeke? No, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. I mean, he had some great tape coming out of college, man.
100%. But that's just the thing is that you invest that fourth overall pick in a guy like a Leonard Fournette. And now he's behind.
Well, Jaguars ran him into the dirt.
Yeah, they ran him into the dirt, but wasn't able to do anything with him.
Didn't he have toe issues?
Yeah, all kinds of issues after he left the Jags. It's like the Eagles South, man.
I have this feeling like you double up. Every year you should be getting a running back in the third or fourth round. You should just keep on.
I feel like we're more blessed when we grab a running back in those later rounds.
Like a Donnell Pumphrey.
Yeah, I mean, I have a tweet saved on my.
Of course you do. You got all the receipts another locked and loaded, bro.
If I could bring it up, I don't know if I can, but it's a tweet from Donnell Pumphrey about him working in the lab and coming back for the next. And I seen that tweet. I screenshot it. I'm like, come on, man.
Baby scrolls.
I
don't talk about it. Be about it.
That's my whole thing. Like, if you guys are out there wanting to do anything in life, I'm going to give you some nice gems right now. This isn't all about draft gems. It's about life gems. Don't say it. Do it. Don't waste your time telling people what you're going to do. Just do it, and the rest will come. Build it, and it will come. That is my draft gem and life gem.
Yeah.
Podcast, bro. Like, I don't really give that many, but I'm giving that one right there. So again, we're talking about investing in running backs in the mid rounds. What was it, Gainwell from Memphis? I heard earlier in the podcast. It's the what about Memphis, man? Putting out backs lately, dude. Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson. Is that like
Gibson?
Is that like middle round back?
They're
right now.
They're a running back factory.
You know, like LSU is like wide receiver U now, DBU.
Yeah, I mean, LSU has been wide receiver U for quite a while.
Alabama could be wide receiver U right now.
True.
Yeah.
Judy Lamb and now Devontae and Jalen coming. Oh my God! Just the last few years.
You have any other prospects that people might be sleeping on in the third round?
Third round now? I think that's where I focus on someone like Creed Humphrey. I think that's the guy I would see replacing Jason Kelce at center.
He's going to go higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, in my mind, where I saw him. And offensive lineman is where I go third. So he's probably not. Obviously, like you just said, I highly doubt he would be there. But we talked about those scenarios. I would like to see us use multiple picks and move up and ensure we get guys like this that could be the future at some of these positions. We talk about four of the top – our four top picks are in the top 84. they have to be day one starters unless it's an offensive lineman that's going to eventually be a starter. You have to get day one starters, man.
What about someone that we have actually interviewed on Talk the Prospect, the guy in Aaron Robinson?
Yes, I think Aaron Robinson.
I thought you were going to say DJ. Okay, I like it.
I think he's worked his way pretty much. I think he's got that second round locked. I think, you know, he's a guy that can play in the slot, has a nice little athletic profile. I think, you know, a lot of draft analysts were pretty high on him, especially coming out of the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of random prospects. Who's Austin Watkins Jr., who we also had on the Talk the Prospect from UAB. He was like talking about the USC. He's like the way that the UCF guys moved. He's like those guys moved different. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you mean Richie Grant and Aaron Robinson? He didn't even know their names, like off the top of the bat. He's like, yeah, the guys from UCF at Senior Bowl, they moved different.
Yeah,
he's like, I just like the way they. And believe me, I mean Richie Grant.
Richie Grant's a sleeper.
He makes the money, yeah, dude. Like he's wearing the black and gold. Who's he remind you of right there?
27.
Yeah, dude. In the black and gold too.
Look, Malcolm Jenkins.
Just like him, man.
Even Gail, you remember we also interviewed Brendan Knox, running back out of Marshall, and he said the same thing. We asked him who had the best competition. He said those guys from UCF. I was like, Richie Grant. I was like, we just talked to them. So, yeah, dude, check out for those guys.
And I really think that is a monumental sort of thing. Like, to have us or anybody kind of analyzing these players is one thing, but to have the actual players they're going up against and them to give the respect up like that and be like, yo, that guy, he was a serious challenge when I went up against him. That speaks volumes. I really think it does.
Definitely does.
Yeah, I mean, we just mentioned him early. Austin Watkins Jr., check him out, wide receiver. He's got the size. He's Sammy Watkins' cousin and Jalen Watkins' cousin. So he's another Florida product that could be – he could go maybe fourth, fifth if someone buys into what he's putting down there. But I feel like he's definitely an exciting player that no one's really talking about. I mean, people are out there talking about, but – again, I'm giving him love. Giving him love. Mark Bird says, let's go Max Duffy, punter.
Yo. Duffy, what a perfect name. Hell yeah. Let's go.
As the president of the Kickers Are People 2 Club, I'm going to have to say we can't draft either a punter or a kicker, man. It's just silly. You don't do that.
I'm looking to see what the rugby kid does.
People, I mean, like, you're the old whole thing with kickers are people too, aren't you?
I just said I'm the president of the club.
I mean, so let's
not only am I,
I want to see what Aaron Simbos has, the rugby kid playing punter for us. We all know how the last guy we had coming over, Australian, I liked Savaraka, so
I'm excited
to see what Simbos does. I don't think he's going to be anything special. Cam Johnson was a good punter, so I was a little upset by that, but
Savaraka was a big body, man. I remember,
that's what I mean. We got a rugby guy, in Simbos now.
He put hits on people.
Love it.
I saw a comment here. Todd says JC Horn in the first, and Israel Mukwamu, aka Izzy, in the third.
I think we could wait a little bit for Izzy.
Also, did a talk to prospect.
Yes, we did. He was correct me if I'm wrong. I think he was our first talk to prospect this year. Yeah. He was a really fun interview. I really like him a lot. He's got a great personality. He's a hard worker. Huge corner. I mean, length, 6'4".
He said talk about changing the game. I think imagine that. That would be interesting. Two former teammates bringing them together. That would be kind of crazy, dude. Who's the Adebo from Stanford corner? He's a guy we were talking about, third round prospects that I'd be interested in. He's getting a lot of people are talking about
Paulson Adebo.
Ambry Thomas is another guy that kind of caught my eye as well from Michigan.
Okay. I haven't watched him.
Yeah.
What about Sean Wade?
I like Ohio State corner. He got his ass beat a couple times though, where
safety now. Like he's now people are saying he's a safety, and
I can see him.
I think he didn't really do his draft stock too much. Good during the championship games. Any interest in Asante Samuel Jr.? We did.
Yeah.
I have to drop that video. Shout out to Chris Malley. We did a video on Asante Samuel Jr. He's definitely got he's an athlete, right? You know, he can click and close. You know, when he breaks, man, he moves. I feel like, you know, people will talk about his size. Can he play on the outside? Could we play him on the inside? He's played on the outside his whole life. He's 5'10", what, 180s? Same size as Jair Alexander, starting corner for the Packers. He says he's a dog. I believe him. Some people have him as their top five, one of their top five corners.
And he can tackle him like his dad.
stunt like his daddy, okay? Stunt like his daddy. Like, it's so weird. I mentioned this on another podcast that I used to always – I would make the kids of former NFL players and add them into my Madden rosters. And like when you get the franchise, you get in the later years,
yeah,
you run out of names, you just put like – it is so wild to see Sante's son, man. I'm
officially old.
That right there makes
same
me feel
with Surtain and Horn.
His dad's last game was only but 8 years ago.
That makes me like feel old enough to be like, yo, man, you hear that new Temptations album?
Like, seriously.
I'm like, bro, like, come on, man.
Old Man River.
Come on.
We got a lot of people that are talking about the possibility of a tight end in the second or third round.
I don't think there's one in the second, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, there's one that's sitting there. I'm just not entirely in love with is Pat Freiermuth.
I like him in the third.
Maybe.
He might go in the second round. I think.
I was going to say, I wouldn't take him in the second. Maybe in the third. Yeah.
I like that Brevin Jordan kid from the U, too.
That's another one. If you're trying to go late, which I would, you know, look at an athletic type, Trey McKitty from Georgia. Mm. He's a guy that I'm looking at late, like we're like sixth round, maybe. Mm-hmm. Just to add into the mix. Cause again, you know, we still have a godlike tight end in Dallas Goedert. Are we still giving love to Dallas Goedert like that?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah, we're giving love to Dallas Goedert.
Does anybody in this room own a Dallas Goedert jersey?
I don't.
I do not.
No. So we're not giving them that.
Not yet. Love that.
Does anybody have a Zach Ertz jersey in this?
I do.
Yeah.
See, that's two out of four. So until Dallas Goedert gets two people in this room to buy a jersey.
I'm scared to buy
player
jerseys.
Me too.
People laugh.
I'm getting a Pete Hos next.
At least we're not Jets fans, man. At least we're not Jets fans.
Shout out to all the ones that went and bought the number twos.
I got a story real quick. Yo, Prime. Exactly.
The number twos will be vintage, bro.
My girlfriend just told me, she's like, honey, I have to tell you this. She's like, I just bought you a Jalen Hurts jersey for your birthday. And she's like, and no lie, the day after I bought it, they announced, she's like, that's why I walked out of the room as soon as you were like, oh, honey, you changed it to number one. She walked out. I didn't really know what was going on. She called them and was like, can I please? She canceled the order. I'm like, well, did you get me like Darius Slay or something? She's like, I don't want it. So I was like, she's like, you get. That's how I feel. Imagine if I would have got that too, though.
I think just the general way that we have been talking about the tight end position, the way that we just lack bringing up Zach Ertz's name in every sort of conversation, the writing is on the wall for me. I think there's a minuscule possibility Zach Ertz could be on the Eagles next year. It's possible. I'm not writing it off. But everything to me is pointing to Zach Ertz is going to be moved before the start of the season.
I've mentally broken off the relationship once I saw that photo with him on the field, and not in a bad negative way. Just I've just kind of like erased him from the roster because I feel like it's the writing's on the wall. Would I like him back? Yeah, man. Fine. Hey, man. Let's run it back. Well, imagine if he doesn't want to run it back because it just doesn't feel right. You know.
Yeah.
His boot thing is up in Indianapolis, and he's out here catching new touchdowns from the new boo. That probably doesn't feel right in his soul. Like, we're not
feels like it feels like he's cheating.
Yeah, like they want to. They're not going to read scriptures together after the game.
I think the problem is he might sit out if we don't get rid of him. He's demanded a new contract for this year,
But I don't think he would do that again.
Don't you?
I think he would this year. And that, you just said his Boothang's gone. I mean, let's be real here. Now he's in that mode where, you know, Carson gave up as soon as he got benched, like he said from his own words. That was the moment he knew he was done. The moment I knew Zach Ertz was done was when he joined him out on the field that last game. So it was kind of telling. And I think you save money in cap. Obviously, there's the whole situation. We've talked about this before with a lot of these guys. After June 1st, you save so much more money. A guy like him, you know, you save $4 million more. So hell yeah, you'd want to do that. But you mentioned earlier, Gail, in the draft, maybe you put him, you know, this is something you and I talked about earlier. Maybe that gives that extra push to a team that, hey, here's Zach Ertz too. And you move up 10 spots in the draft for somebody you really like.
And then if you want to sweeten the deal, you add in Julie.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's her birthday today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Julie.
Happy birthday, Julie. Last one of Philadelphia.
A championship. A champion, Julie Ertz. Yes. I mean, how many couples do you know that have a
each of them have a champion?
Yeah. And they're great people too,
that's
man.
A power couple, man. Power couple for sure.
And they're great people too.
They definitely are a power couple.
Yeah.
They definitely are. It'll be sad to see them go.
And they're doing a lot of great things for the city of Philadelphia. Shout out to them for doing that. I mean, absolutely. Respect. And he brought us a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yes. See, we're giving love. We're giving love to Ertz.
I'll always remember that dive across the end zone, man. That'll never leave my memory.
I've always loved that dude. Yeah.
That Chris Collinsworth was still throwing hate, spitting hate.
Yo. I wanted to jump to the TV for like 5 minutes.
He would stop.
If I see him in person, I'll let him know.
I've always wanted to.
Collinsworth?
Oh, Chris.
Oh, Chris Collinsworth. Yeah, yeah.
And now his son is out there.
Privilege, baby. Must be nice.
His son is out there, but he's not as dad-like. So, I mean, you know. Maybe the
well,
second
what,
tier.
What exactly would you say to Collinsworth if you saw
him? I'm like, yo, I heard the tone in your voice that you weren't respecting that touchdown. And Al Michaels, too. I would give Al Michaels.
You're being nice.
I would give Al. I would.
Bitch, that was a catch.
I might push
find the nearest football, spike it, and yell touchdown.
I might push Al Michaels down the stairs if I saw him.
Wow, this show took a turn.
Yeah, I'm gonna find you in the back alley.
They both. What the hell is even that? They're both hating on the touchdown. You know what I mean? But, hey, y'all. I'm just keeping it real. I mean, we're about an hour in. But before any last words out there, before we get out of here, any last words?
I would just say, look for us, look for more of this draft talk, obviously, but really mark it down your calendars. If we've sent you one, Moira, or if you have your own calendar in your kitchen, wherever else, we're going to be doing these draft shows. I'm really excited for them. I really hope that all of you guys that are watching, you, stop by, whenever we get interaction with the fans, it's the best. It makes these, like we're going to do that stream for like ever, like 8 hours.
You should have time. There'll be 8 hours.
There'll be plenty of time for you to jump in. We'll be able to talk to everybody. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I wish I could press fast forward and get to it already.
Yeah, I mean, 23 more days until we get to that point. I mean, this time last year, it was definitely something that we needed with the whole pandemic started. We're a year later. You know what I mean? We're kind of like easing our way out of this situation. Hopefully, it moves along pretty quicker. But yeah, I mean, just like you guys, I'm looking for the live stream as well. But honestly, I'd rather be on that field watching the draft like we were a couple years ago. So I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, we'll figure something out. You know, I mean, we'll make something happen. But you know, I mean, fly Eagles fly.
That was the weakest fly Eagle. That had no juice to it, Prime. That was like, I guess fly Eagles fly.
Now you make me feel like I gotta bring it.
You gotta bring.
What the hell is even that is the question I'm asking myself. But to piggyback off what these guys said, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. Even just talking about it gets me excited. Staying up late, talking with you guys, and then, you know, the fans joining in. We had people coming in from work, wherever the hell they were in their car. So, like, dude, so awesome. So can't wait to spend that time with you guys. It's going to be fantastic. So definitely piggybacking off those guys. Look forward to that. But tonight it was awesome. Every time I talk to you guys, I get more and more excited about this draft, man. So I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to hang out with me, because I've been Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde about this, man. We traded our 6th-round pick. Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts. That's what everybody's thinking, right? Everybody's pissed off, and rightfully so. But with all that talent there, and then you look, like Gale said at the beginning, it's more than one pick. We have 11 picks, guys. So we got a lot of holes in this team. You know, 47 holes, 11 picks. It's kind of crazy. But, you know, we got to fill them. And I'm getting excited here. I know how he's drafting. I know the team has to stay healthy. I get all the pessimism. I do. And I know Nick Sirianni has a little neck beard. And I know he doesn't like bananas. But let's get real here, guys. I just want to see how he coaches. I want to see how Jalen Hurts is. It's QB1. And I'm going to see who we add in this draft. So let's pump the brakes on already giving up on this team, calling it a dumpster fire, when we just saw all the veterans coming back, restructuring, making sure that they can help this team grow and become a champion again. So keep that optimism alive, ladies and gentlemen, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Go
Bird. I don't like banana routes, right? I don't like the we're gonna roll into it. It's stick your foot in the ground and rip it.
Talking about ripping it, Jimmy sticking his foot in the ground and ripping it. No breath. One take, Jimmy, we're gonna call him. I have a feeling like I have a feeling that you are gonna get the number 12 pick right. I'm putting it out there in existence. I'm giving that positivity. A lot of negativity out there on Eagles, on social media, and everybody feeling a certain way. I mean, at the end of the day, you look for hope. You know, you look for hope, and hopefully your team is out there, and your players are going to put the best product on the field for the next season. Next season isn't last season. The world turns in this whole NFL business. Like it's a whole different team. We talk about the Super Bowl team. There's like 5 guys left from that Super Bowl team. So this is where the team gets better, building through the draft on day 2 and day 3. This is where it's the most important. You talk about first round, finding cheap talent that can make plays, playmakers in the second, in third and fourth rounds, and fifth rounds, priority free agents. That's where it's at. So hopefully we can all pray for Howie, you know, all light a candle, put your hands up, and, it's all about bringing people together on this draft show. Again, Evan, I'm going to piggyback off that. A lot of great people that came, and we've met a lot of great people through the that live draft show last year, and a lot of people want to be a part of it. Again, we're going to do it again for the people and, for the next one. It's always Fly Eagles Fly, and we'll see you guys soon, and go Birds.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.